Miracles, 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 miracles. This is the Absolute Philosopher. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, Absolute Monastery here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher talking about miracles, miracles, miracles. I give to the world the best that I have in me. How could I do anything other than that? And the world floods my life with the best it has in it. Now that's really very easy, because I can only see the world through my eyes. And if I give the best that I have in me, and always give the best that I have in me, the world has to flood back into my life the best it has in it, because I can only see the best it has in it. I cannot see the problems in the world. I cannot see the unhappiness in the world. I cannot see anything else. Think about it. What is it you want in your life? What is it you want to experience in your life? Do you want to experience happiness or sadness? My goodness, what mundane attitudes. Pretend that there's something very great. As Richard Bach would say, you can quite imagine that the infinite has a great deal more to it than we ever could know. And this is true. Our infinite self, our infinite reality, has so much more to it than we could ever imagine for ourselves. Now, just stupidly, can you imagine yourself a Bill Gates, a Warren Buffett? No. You like to think about their wealth, but you have no concept of their simplicity of mind relative to their wealth. Can you think of yourself as a Jesus Christ? No, you can't. Because, you see, he was untouched by his world. He was untouched by all the things going on in this world. He was untouched by everything. And the only thing that he was touched by was the idea that he was a happy, joyous, loving being. Okay. Now, can you visualize yourself a Michelangelo? Can you visualize yourself doing a stone sculpture like David, you know? Could you visualize yourself doing a Pietà? Could you visualize yourself painting the Sistine Chapel? Could you visualize yourself in this high frame of spiritual awareness being ticked off at the Pope, you know? You know? Here's the guy who gave you the opportunity to show how great you are, but you see, he knew it in everyday mundane terms. He knew the Pope wanted the ceiling of the chapel painted, and he knew that he was painting it. Now, whether he thought that he was painting a masterpiece, surely he didn't think that. What he thought was each item that he painted on there, he painted to his best, to his highest and best. And because he painted it to his highest and best, it turned out to be something utterly fantastic. Now, we are always in charge of our world. We're always in charge of everything we do. And right now, my dog Rex is having a good time eating the paint off of the wall. And he thinks that's such a lovely thing to do. And Ingeborg is trying to haul him back a little bit, but he weighs over 90 pounds. And he's quite a load to move. Now, what she wants to do is to move him totally. And to do that, and go like this. You see? Now, he just skidded right around in a circle, and there he is now. And he's just fine. Rex, boy, relax. Good boy. You have to be definite. Now, if you see a little baby doing something he shouldn't be doing, you definitely take the little baby away from it, and you don't let the little baby get involved in it, because you don't want the little baby to be doing the things that might be hurtful to him. And so here we have this one-month, 2-month-old baby here who loves to chew the paint off the wall at the moment, and we must curb that, not only because we don't want to repaint the wall, but because the paint probably isn't too good inside of him. And we want to make sure that he has it all good inside of him. Now, we could speak our word, and we could say, now he is good, now he is a good boy, now he is an instant boy, doing wonderful things. And then it would happen. But as it is, we take the easier route by distracting him from what he was doing that was not beneficial to him. What does it mean now? We were talking about Michelangelo painting the Sistine Chapel. Could you visualize yourself doing that? Mm-hmm. Could you visualize yourself being Torpsichore? Who's Torpsichore? She's the goddess of dance and music and love. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine yourself being the goddess of dance and enjoying? You see, it's not knowing a lot of dance steps, you understand? Mm-hmm. It's not knowing a lot of music, but it's responding to the music with your body movements, with the flow and the rhythm of your body to the music, and it is absolutely glorious. However, when people go and train in the dance steps, they are awkward in the beginning because they're learning how to do things in such a way that it's foreign to their attitude. And when their body does it, they do it easily, and then what do you say? Oh, they're a natural. Well, they always were a natural, but they have to train themselves to do that. They have to train themselves to be part of that and to go with it, and they'll do that. And this is what you are. I give the world the best I have in me, and the world floods my life with the best it has in it. Do you think that Michelangelo ever realized how much he was appreciated? Yes, he did. Now I say this, Michelangelo realized how much he was appreciated because he 100% appreciated himself. When he painted his best, and he was delighted. No one could say to Michelangelo, that's a lovely painting.
Because he knew it.
Such unimportant words you attach to a lovely painting. It's a spectacular painting. It's a painting with a story. It's a painting with a picture. Each item on that ceiling was representative of a part of the Bible, part of all. Michelangelo was an exceedingly intelligent man, well-read, a literate man, and very well, and he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing, not only from the outer world, but from the inner world. And what we should have done with Michelangelo, we should have done brain tests on him and found out what level of consciousness he was operating on when he painted, and then we could work on our own, what's that program that we have?
Biofeedback.
We could work on our own biofeedback program and train ourselves to be on that level of consciousness. Now, was that level of consciousness needing approval by others?
No.
It just didn't need approval by him, but it just was satisfied sufficient with approval by itself, by what he did. Now, you see, this is quite beautiful. And this is why, when we give our best, the world floods it back into our heart, into our beingness. Now, why did Michelangelo create him and the Pope having a little to do with one another? Because this was his modus operandi, his method of working to capacity. He worked to capacity when he was irritated at the Pope. I'll show you I can do my best. I'll show you I can do this, and I'll go for that. And there's a lot of other psychological isms and things that were at work there. And think of all the other things. Think of all the other things, the other great people in this world. Think of Winston Churchill, who spent his entire life in family fame, but nothing of his own. He was a nothing. He was an absolute nothing. He was a journalist and many other things, but he was a nothing. And then the Second World War came along, and he somehow succeeded in being the prime minister. And in it, he showed his greatness. In it, he showed his magnificence. And as soon as the war was over, what did they do to him? They got rid of him. They didn't need a prime minister with that attitude of mind to run the country, remember? England was now in peacetime, and it needed a peacetime prime minister. Now, the people of England, of Great Britain, they didn't say, we need to have a peacetime prime minister. The people of England didn't say, we needed to have a peaceful prime minister. The people of England just chose a peaceful prime minister, because Churchill had been such a significant, important man in the cultures, in the histories, in the land's culture, in the land's history, that he had to be disposed of. And as he was disposed of, he didn't take it kindly either, like our friend MacArthur, he didn't take it kindly. Old soldiers never die, they just fade away. And old prime ministers never die, they just fade away. And he lived on and on and on. And he, do you know what happened to him when he lived on? Mm. He got to know his family. He got to know his children.
Oh, nice.
And he got to appreciate them. They got to appreciate him. Not fully, because he was always the bombastic person that he had been. But they got to know him, and they got to love him. And it was a lovely thing that he lived on in that way. But you see, I'm talking about great people, but what about little people? What about little people giving their very best, the best that they have within them, and then the world floods it back to them? You know, I've worked with a lot of churches over the years, and in working with these churches, people come in and give volunteer work. And when they give volunteer work, what's the first thing most people want to do? Anybody know the answer? When people give volunteer work, they want to do it their way. I mean, I'm doing it for nothing, let me do it my way, you know. Well, no, we don't want that. It has to be done this way, because that's the way the church is going to do it. And well, it ticks a lot of people off, because they haven't gone in to give their best. They've gone in to do what they damn please. And this is a very unhappy situation. And it happens in a lot of churches and a lot of voluntary organizations. I worked in the Crippled Children's Society in California for many years. And I was president of it and director of it and all that good stuff in Atwater and Merced County. And it was a great experience. But I found the easiest way to get most of the jobs done that had to be done was just do it myself. Because all the volunteers came in and they had their special ways of doing it. They wanted to reorganize it and replan it. And the program had been designed by the Crippled Children's Society for many, many years and worked just beautifully. It, of course, could always be improved, but rather than taking the time to improve it, just take time to do it and get the job done. And so I ended up doing most of it myself, and it was good. But I had a lot of people on the listing of the board who were volunteers and who should have been doing things. Now, maybe if I were a better leader, I would have led them into volunteering better and got more work out of everything. But as it was, in the state of California, we were the largest Crippled Children's Society and the most effective Crippled Children's Society of the entire state, which was quite nice. And I had my newspapers and the other thing, but I gave my very best. And in giving my best, good people, lots of good people joined up and were volunteers on the organization. People with big names, but still, they left me at the top, and they kept putting me at the top each time. But that was fine. But I gave my very best, and the world just flooded upon me. So my job was easy, my work was easy, my world was easy, everything I did was easy. And we did many other things. Faith and I started the Society for Symphonic Programs in Merced County, as well as in Orange County. And we had these groups going, and we would bring in artists once a month and put on a great theater, And it was really quite something. So we got known from many different angles of things. And as you know, my wife, she's a great person, a great music lover, but she's not a great organizationalist. And so that she left to me. And of course, that was the majority of the activity of the organization. But when you give your best, give your very best, you don't need to have anybody shout hoorays about you. You don't need to have anybody approve you. You just watch the success of the activity that you're engaged in, and you see what a beautiful job you've done and how wonderful it is. You know, we're all pretty wonderful. I give to the world the best that I have in me, and the world floods into my life the best it has in it. It's really pretty terrific. Have a lovely evening, a lovely day, a lovely life, and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.